Hallelujah. I'm going to finish out the series that I started, Who Are You Really? We started that not last week, but the week before. Amen. Amen. But today we're going to talk about benefits. Amen. The first part of the series, we talked about who are you really? And we spoke of who you are in Christ. All right. The position that you hold in Christ, what Christ did for us, how we were grafted in, amen, how we were adopted as sons and daughters, amen, and that is our position, that's who you are. You are no longer who you were, but you are who you are, and that is I am now in Christ Jesus, amen, amen, and that's what we wanted to drive that point home so that you understood grafted in meant that you were no longer a part of what you were, but now you are part of Christ. You are grafted in. You are adopted. When you adopt the child, that child takes your last name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So now we're going to move to benefits. Amen. Father, I praise you. I thank you this morning, Lord. Give you praise. Give you honor. I give you glory, Lord. Help us, Father, to understand who we are, Father, to grow up in you, Jesus, to be everything that you called us to be, Father. I praise your name this morning, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to quicken this word, Father. I thank you, Jesus, that the ears that are open to hear this morning, Lord, I pray that they will not leave here the same way that they came in, Father God, but that we are encouraged, Father, that we are so much more rooted and grounded in you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you this morning, Jesus, for all the benefits that you have given to your people, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, hallelujah. How many of you have seen that commercial on TV where they come and they say, you may not know you have this money, but all you have to do is tap into this website and we'll tell you if money is owed to you. You may have money from who knows who way back when, and it's just been sitting there and it's your money. You see that commercial? Yeah. Okay, some of our family tapped into it and found us some money. Wasn't a whole lot, but it was some money. Okay, amen. And the thing is we went all this time, and we didn't even know we had that money. We didn't even know it was there. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we accept Christ as our personal Savior, and that's where we stop. We don't get past that. And excuse me, I'm a little saddened by the amount of Christians that I see that are, they're living a very low-level Christian life, okay, when we can have so much more. And I remember Ron Carpenter said one thing. He said, you know, you're simply saved by grace. And I've had a solid understanding, and it's a it could be dangerous to the person who wants to play Christianity. Be very dangerous for that person because they will get sucked up in their sin because, you know, they think that they can just continue to sin. Okay. Just because they said, well, Lord, I take you as my Savior, and they just don't, their life never changes. Okay. But you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. All right. But I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. Come on now. You hear me? Okay. So we have this thing that we just hit the low level of it. And that's just, I'm going to accept Christ, but I'm going to keep on living a low level life. So you never tap in. You never move past just an elementary stage. And when you are in an elementary stage, you don't get much because you can't handle much. I don't give my granddaughter who is 5 years old, the keys to my big truck out there and expect her to be able to drive it. I don't give it to her. So what I'm saying in all this is that we have got to come to a place where you begin to dig past just the surface things and you begin to understand, number one, who you are, really. All right? You are no longer a sinner, but a sinner saved by grace. Amen? And, you know, and some people say, well, don't call yourself a sinner, but the actuality of it is that sin is kind of bound to this body. It has a tendency to want to go that direction. Okay. Your mind kind of wants to go that direction. I mean, I don't know. Has everybody got past the point where somebody cuts them off or they're mean to them? You want to say some choice words to them? Kind of crosses your mind and you have to put that thought down. It's like, go on down, back down, get on back down, flesh man, get on back down, you know? Okay. So we have to mature. And we have to understand we are saved by grace, simply by grace, no other reason. It is by the blood of Christ that we are saved. If you try to tag anything else to it, you're wrong. But there comes benefits to coming into the family of God. Amen. I love it because when you are born into a family, everything that that family is now becomes yours. And if you're born into a very wealthy family, then you have access to that lifestyle. Come on. If you are born into a moderate family, you have access to that lifestyle. And if you are born to a very poor, impoverished family, you are locked in at that point in your life as a child to that lifestyle. So we inherit certain things. So when we became Christians, we inherited certain things. We took Christ as our brother, so to speak, our savior, our friend. Amen. And God is our father. Amen. So you can kind of say, I have a big brother and his name is Jesus. Have anybody, you had a big brother or somebody that you looked up to and somebody was trying to beat you up and you were like, I'm gonna get my brother. I'm gonna get my sister. Be messing with me. I call my sister. Okay. All right. You know, okay. So there was a benefit to that. Come on now. All right. I mean, think about it. You felt a little bit safer, you know, like you ain't really going to be able to beat me up because I got a sister. I got a brother and they are big and they are bad and they can fight real good. They're going to tear you up. Okay. So you need to back off. Amen. So we come into a family setting. Amen. And if you don't understand the family setting, or if you've had a very bad family setting where it hasn't been healthy and it hasn't been good, there's arguing and fighting all the time in your family, and there's no real security there, you begin to look and you'll get saved and you'll look at the family of God in a perverted way. You won't see it the way that it truly is. And that's what happens to us when we don't go any further. We look at it in a perverted way, and then we live in Christ in a perverted way. It's perverted. And you say distorted, but it's perverted. You know why? Because the devil doesn't want you to have anything that's straight. He doesn't want you to have anything that's lovely. He doesn't want you to have anything that's peaceful. He doesn't want you to have anything that's comforting. And so he'll pervert everything and make it bad and nasty and terrible. And you have a hard time living in it. That's his job. That's what he does. And so you have to understand what benefits you have being in Christ. One of them, and believe me, there are so many, felt like my, you seen that commercial where it's, I guess it's the credit card thing and her, the top of their head goes, poof, and all the smoke comes out. That's kind of how I felt. I was like, whoa, there's so much. There's so much here that are benefits. This is like exciting. Wow. You know? And so I had to kind of narrow it down because the pastor used to say, you can just keep going and going and going and going and never get to a conclusion. You have to order this. I had to say, okay, Lord, help me order this. Okay. Hallelujah. Help me order this. And one of the benefits to being in the family of God is reconciliation and forgiveness. Okay. That's a big benefit because when you were walking according to the world, the only thing you got was condemnation and guilt and shame for everything that you did. If you were involved in some things, if you always notice more crimes and more rapes and more murders and all that stuff, they're committed at night under the cloak of darkness than in the light. Okay. Most of the time people want to steal and they want to do these things in the nighttime. That's why certain people come out later in the evenings. More drug trafficking happens in the evening. More sex trade happens in the evenings. All these things come under the cloak of darkness. So you once worked under the cloak of darkness, the cloak of shame. I functioned under shame. I felt shame. I felt embarrassed. All of those things functioned in our lives. And then God called us to reconciliation and forgiveness. In other words, to come to the light of his word. My God. If you go with me to 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to do 18. I had to mark all this because I had a lot of scripture for you today. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. Got it? kind of close. But all things are from God, who through Christ Jesus reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by the word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God's personal presence in Christ, reconciling, restoring the word to favor with himself. Come on, we got favor with him. Not counting up and holding against us, not holding against men, their trespasses, but concealing them, taking them, they're gone. I'm concealing them, no one can see them. And committing to us the message of reconciliation, the restoration of favor. Listen to me. We have a message in us. We have reconciliation in us. He has given us favor. He has brought us to a higher plane of living. He is now saying, I put favor on you. In other words, it's like your parents saying, you're my favorite kid. You're my favorite. You're just the best. I don't care what you did. I just love you. You're all that in a bag of chips. I'm going to take you home with me and just bless you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be upset. Hallelujah. I'm here for you. I love you. Amen. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the flesh and newness has come. Behold, the fresh and newness has come. Behold, the fresh and newness has come. Reconciliation, forgiveness, favor. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There's so many things that we can say about this, but we are fresh. We are new. How many of you like something bought brand new and it's fresh and it's crispy and it's clean and it's, you know, all the tags are still on it and you just want to put that on and you feel so good when you can put that new outfit on? Amen. How many of you like that? You know, it feels good. Amen. That's who you are. That's who you are. In other words, he took you out of the muck and the mire and he transformed you and put the tags back on you. Brand new. Brand new. Brand new. Amen. And so that's a benefit, that we have the benefit of newness, that we have the benefit of forgiveness, that we have the benefit of him receiving us, that we have the benefit of being in harmony with him, that we have the benefit of his favor. He likes you. He likes you. Don't you like it when you go someplace? Have you ever been someplace and they know who you are because you frequent there often? And then when you come in, they know you and they say, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. Come on up here. Favor. Don't that feel good? I mean, come on. Really think what that feels good, doesn't it? It makes you feel good. Yeah, I got it. I got it going on. Come on up to the front. Hallelujah. They like me. I got it. I'm good. Hallelujah. But you got it like that with Christ. He says, that one has favor. Bring that one up to the front. Come on up here. Come on up close to me. Come on up here and sit next to me. Come on up here with me. Come with me. You have favor with me. I want you to be here with me. Reconciliation, forgiveness. He does not look at who we were anymore because we are now made brand new. For he sees us in Christ's eyes. He sees us through Jesus Christ. And that is a great benefit if you understand. Anywhere that you go, you can walk into that situation with your head held high and you can say, I am fresh. I am new. I am forgiven. I am God's favorite. So when you get me in any situation, you are getting one that is favored by God. So you want to know me because I got connections. I got connections. You have a message. You could talk about it. In other words, he's saying, I don't want you to hide that. That's not being prideful to say that I'm favored by God. That's what he's telling you. It's not being prideful to do that. You have a message. You can speak about it. You can talk about it. You can brag about it. You can brag on your God for what he has done. Amen. Reconciliation and forgiveness. Hallelujah. Go to my second point. Not only did we come into this family and have a father and set it up as a family, have a brother in Jesus, so to speak, okay? But you have a friend. You have a friend in Jesus. Now listen to me. I don't want to equate my friendship with Jesus as something to just, it's not that. Because he's not a friend according to the world's friendship. And it's funny, I was kind of getting ready to leave and I was listening to Charles Stanley and he was saying that he had a friend in college and he didn't know how to accept true friendship. And this friend was constantly coming by and saying, "Hey, how you doing? You know, do you need anything? You know, you want to go out and grab a bite to eat? You know, oh, let me help you with this. You know, I'm here for you." And he said he didn't know how to receive that. And he almost couldn't stand the guy, you know. And he said it took 4 years of college, 4 years of this guy being consistent in his friendship to him for him to be able to even receive it. Wow. We're not talking about friendship according to the world where if you do for me, I'll do for you. If you act right, I'm going to act right towards you. We're talking about the kind of friendship that even when you act ugly, I'm still your friend. We're talking about even when you ignore me, I'm still your friend. Even when you talk bad about me, well, Jesus, he didn't show up. I don't know what God, he ain't here. What's he doing? I prayed, ain't got my answer. Even when we are not his friend, can you witness for me? I want you to say this to this person. I'm not me. I ain't saying that. I ain't going to get embarrassed. I ain't doing that. Why would I do that? They may think bad of me. Even when we're not his friend, he is still our friend. He's still your friend. He's still standing by your side. He's still listening to you. He's still ready at any point given that where he can stand in front of you and say, "No, you don't touch that one. Deal with me, but you don't touch that one. You deal with me. That's my friend back there. You don't do that. You don't do that." Let's go to John 15:13. My God. Thank you, Jesus. It says, "No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends." Wow. Wow. For Jesus to step in front of me, knowing that I really do deserve everything that's coming to me because I really have not totally lived a sinless life. And to step in front of me and say, "I love you. My affection is so great towards you that I'm going to step in front of you and I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to bear the weight of your sin so that you don't have to." What a friend. What a friend. What a friend we have in the fact that he was tempted the same way we are. He decided to take off his glory and to put on this flesh made from dirt, to put on this flesh. I mean, what a big step from glory to this. Come on. All right. Okay. Because sometimes, like this morning, I didn't care too much for this body. Come on. Y'all said, like, y'all don't ever think this way. Okay. Come on now. All right. And he took all that off so that he could come to earth and that he can move and he can feel and he can do and he can show everything to us through his actions, not just his word. In other words, I want to be your friend in action too, not just in word. Amen. And so he came so he could be tempted like we were tempted. If you think that Jesus just walked through this earth and his flesh didn't feel some things, this fallen flesh didn't feel some things, weren't tempted by some things, then you're wrong. Because he came and he was hungry. He was thirsty. He was hurt. His feelings got hurt. He cared about people. People betrayed him. He was tempted to get angry. I'm sure he was tempted after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. It would be awful easy to turn this into bread, this stone into bread. I can do it. If you don't think that was a temptation, you try. You can't even fast for one whole day. Most of us, okay? And you talk about, "I'm going to sneak this and God watching all the time. I'm going to sneak me a little bit to eat." Okay? He was tempted. just like you and me, yet without sin. In other words, he made it through. Even when we couldn't make it through, he made it through. Therefore, positioning him to help us make it through. He can relate to us in every way. He wanted to be loved. Everybody has an inept need in them to be loved. He wanted friendships. He wanted things to work out for those around him. He cared. He wanted right for us. When we didn't do things right, it hurt him. When his disciples messed up, he corrected them, but it hurt Jesus. Do you not understand that he felt the pain that we feel in different situations too? He felt these things. He dealt with these things. And because he dealt with all of this, because he was tempted as we were tempted, because he was hungry like we've been hungry, because he was thirsty like we've been thirsty, because he was betrayed like we've been betrayed. Oh my God. Because he had to do some work in his life. He just didn't sit around. He was a carpenter. He worked. He know what it is to work all day, come home and be tired. He knows. He knows these things. He knows we're to go into a place and be totally rejected. Have you ever been someplace and you really wanted to fit into that place and you were totally rejected in that place? He understands that feeling. Sometimes I think we don't think God, Jesus identifies with us and he doesn't understand what we're going through, but he does, because everything that you will ever have to deal with is not new. Nothing is new under the sun. Nothing's new. It's happened back then. It's happened middle century and it's happening now. The same root to every occasion to be wounded and hurt still exists from the very beginning of time when we fell, when Adam ate the fruit, we fell. It existed then and it exists now. Nothing's new. So Jesus dealt with it. He dealt with it. But he came out on the other side and he didn't sin and he didn't hate and he didn't reject and he stayed a friend. And this is why we can trust him to be a friend in every situation and in every need that we have. You can trust him with that. That's a benefit to being in the family of God. We have a big brother that has dealt with everything we've dealt with. So he is capable of telling us how to handle it and come out on the other side entirely wanting nothing. That's a benefit. Don't lose your benefits. That's a benefit. Oh God. Excuse me. Let's talk about fear. I believe it's Hebrews. Let me go here and see. Yeah, la la la. Hebrews 10:19. When you were in the world, I don't know about you, but how many of you were afraid of going to hell? I had a healthy fear. Okay, I had a healthy fear that there was a real hell. Okay, because I kind of came up in a family that went to church and so, and they preach hellfire, and I had a healthy fear of hell. And so I understood what hell was, and I kind of like had a full fear of going to hell. I really did. Okay, so come with me to Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus. Now listen to me. There was a time when if you walked into the Holy of Holies and you did not do all the things that you were supposed to, and really you couldn't do it. It had to be a priest. And then he had to go through a whole bunch of rituals to get to the Holy of Holies. Okay. You weren't even allowed anywhere near it. Okay. You just brought your stuff and hope that he would go in there and pray for you. Okay. And then they put, pomegranates on the bottom of his robe to make sure that he was still alive in there, because they could hear him jiggling around in there. And if he didn't do it all right, then they had the rope tied on him and they pulled that brother out. Okay. He could go into the Holy of Holies. You didn't just walk up in there. You didn't just walk up into the presence of God. You didn't walk up in there like that. There had to be a sacrifice for you. And you had to find one and have the money to buy something to bring to kill for the blood so that you could send the priest in there to pray for you. Come on now. So that's a healthy fear that God is going to get you. Okay. You don't mess around with God. You couldn't even talk to him face to face. Couldn't do it. Now all of a sudden we come into the family. Now he's our father. And now we have the confidence. We have the confidence, full freedom and confidence, full freedom. If it's freedom, then that says I can walk into my Father's chambers at any time, under any situation, and I can come to my Father with confidence, knowing he's not going to say, you can't come up in here. Get out of here. The fear of being rejected by God, the fear of needing him to intervene, needing to talk with him, needing to sit at his feet, needing to bring him your troubles and your worries and things that are coming against you and what you are afraid of. And you can't even go in there because you're afraid. But see, he took that away when you came into the family. He became your father. The benefit to that is I can go at any time under any situation to go to my father and I can climb up in his lap and I can say, Abba, Father, Daddy, respectfully, Daddy, I need you. You have an open door to God the Father. People in the world do not have that benefit. They don't have that benefit. Theirs is to cry out to Jesus. Theirs is to cry out to Jesus, but they have no access to God except through Christ Jesus. And because we are his, we have the benefit of walking into the Holy of Holies and sitting at the feet of a great God, an awesome God, even quoted as a terrible God. We can go in there because we know that at the snap of his finger, he can destroy everything. But we, come on, now think about that. You know, it was like the great and wonderful Oz, Wizard of Oz. Okay, and the lion was like, I'm going in, I'm so scared, you know. Okay. You know, and all the smoke and everything was coming out. That would kind of intimidate anybody. But you can just, hey, it's my father. I'm his favorite. I have favor. I have benefits. He knows me. All my sins are washed away. I've been made righteous through Christ Jesus. I can just walk up in here and I can hang out with my father. I can talk with him. I can tell him what I need in the name of Jesus. And he hears me. And he loves me with an unconditional love. And I can even go in there in the midst of trying to deal with my sin. Dirty, muddy, raggedy, smelly. I can still go in and sit at my father's feet and talk with him and sup with him. And he receives me. That is an awesome benefit. That is an awesome benefit. No more fear. No more fear. And I love this, and this really touched me. Hebrews 13. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Amen. He's exhorting here about marriage and other things, but it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, now listen to this, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Seeing how Jesus conquered sin and death, so the threat of death is no longer a threat to us. Because we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we no longer have to fear death being separated from God. We know that we go from one state to another state. We know, and I'm not going to read the whole Amplified, but I loved this. I'm going to clear my eyes up from tears here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, I will not. Come on. He felt like, I want to repeat this to you. I want you to really understand that I'm not going to leave you, that I'm not going to leave you without help, that I'm not going to be here for you. I'm here. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not just leave you to handle everything by yourself. I will be here. You can come to me at any time in any given situation. You can talk to me. You can run to me. My arms are open wide to you. A picture of the prodigal son. He stayed out in the pig pen. Come on now. The father went and ran to meet him. You didn't do that back in those days, but he ran to meet him. And I love that statement that they brought out that he ran to meet him so that nobody else could say anything negative about him. He ran out to me to shut your mouth. That's my child. Shut your mouth. Don't say nothing. He doesn't receive, in other words, a negative report from the enemy about you. My God. My God. That's like that parent that comes into the office and you trying to discipline their child. They say, my child don't do no wrong. I know my baby didn't do that. That's my baby. My baby don't do wrong. He loves you like that. He sees you like that. He cares about you like that. I will never, it says, I will not. I will not. I will not. In any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. In other words, I'm not going to relax my hold. I've got you. I've got you. Assuredly not. Assuredly not. I'm not letting you go. That's a benefit, that when I'm falling, I can reach out and I can grab hold to my father, and he is telling me, I will not let you fall. I got you. Assuredly, you will not hit the ground and be destroyed. I got you. That's a benefit, to be able to go in and to speak and to know that there is no fear. My God. Go with me to John 14:27. Another benefit to being in the family of God is an inner peace. How many of you, when you were in the world, you fought with fear and turmoil and you just didn't have a peace about anything? You were constantly worrying where your next meal is going to come from, what's going to happen with this, what's going to happen with that. I know if you came up in the era where the atomic bomb threat was, and you were in school and you had to drop and go under your desk and cover your head. You guys, any of you remember that? Didn't that kind of scare you? That used to terrify me, you know? And then I would be walking home. I lived in Pacoima, and where we lived, there was a park right next to Pacoima Elementary. And so I would walk through the park, but they had those big sirens that they used to have. You remember those? You older ones, you young people can't relate to that. And they had the big sirens, and the sirens would go off because they were testing them. Like once a month, they would test them. And you would be walking through the park, and you'd hear those sirens going off. And it would just strike fear in my heart. It really would. I was so afraid of that. And I would think, okay, where can I run? And they tell you, if you're out and about, you have to run, and you have to lay next to the curb, and you have to cover your head and hope that you make it. If they're dropping the bomb on us. There was a constant fear of that. So there was really no real peace to say, even if it does happen, I know I'll be with you, Lord. Whatever happens, you're working everything together for my good. I love you, Lord. I trust you. See, I didn't have that kind of peace. And I think growing up in that era where those kind of things happened kind of made you a kind of an unsettled person. You were never really settled. You know, I don't know if I was the only one that kind of reaped that badness from that, but that's kind of what I never was really settled. Okay. And then I didn't have a trust in my father because he left. And so all these things unsettled. And I didn't have peace in these areas. Nothing was peaceful. I think that's why now at all costs, I like my house to be peaceful. Okay. I don't like a bunch of mess. I don't want to be fighting. I don't want craziness. I don't want it. And then if it starts happening around me, I will leave. People start fighting and carrying on. I'm like, see ya. Okay. I need peace. I need peace. I done had enough of this mess in my life. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. So 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Wow. The peace of God surpasses understanding. When you come to know that you are capable and you are able and you have the freedom and the benefit of going into the Holy of Holies and sitting with your Father, where you are totally covered, where you are totally protected, that you have a big brother that stands before you and he tells everybody, don't mess with her, don't mess with him. That's my sister, that's my brother. I'm their Lord. They belong to me. They're part of my family. You don't just get to come up in my family and act a fool. When you come to understand that, and you understand the benefit of that, then you understand that there's a certain level of peace that you can really go where you want to go. Amen? You can flow in and out of situations, and you don't have to be afraid. And there's a peace that comes when things are even in an upheaval and they're not going right and money is not like it should be and your body is not where you want it to be. There's a level of peace that's beyond understanding because see, the world says, I gotta have plenty of money. I gotta have money in the bank. I gotta have retirement. I gotta have all these ducks in a row. My body has to be perfectly healed. My children have to be perfect and then I have peace. That's how the world knows peace. Okay. Everything has to be right. And that's how the world knows peace. But the peace that passes understanding, the kind of peace that God, through Jesus Christ, left to us, the benefit to that is I can walk in the midst of the storm and I can still have a level of peace that not even the world could ever understand. Peace. We have peace in Christ. John 16:33. Amen. My God. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Oh God. Oh God. I love that benefit. In the world you have tribulations and trials and disasters and frustrations. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Centered. Oh God. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. I have deprived it of the power over you. I have taken the power back. I have deprived the enemy of the power to destroy you. I have deprived the enemy of the power to come against you and to cause you to be unsettled. He said, be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be confident. There's a certain level of confidence when you understand that there is a place of peace in Christ. The world does not give this to us. Christ gives this. The world has nothing to do with it. The world can't even figure out how to do it. This is why the Antichrist will be able to do what he wants to do, because everybody will be so hungry and so war-worn and battle-worn that they will take anything and anybody that says they can bring peace. Where we know in the middle of it all what's going on in the world, we have a perfect peace. Amen. So don't be afraid. Take courage. Rest in his peace. I know we're all going through different things. I know money can be tight. I know our bodies are doing what they're doing. I know things are happening. I know they are. I know the economy is not what it should be. I know America seems to be going downhill. I know these things. We all know these things. But there has to be a level of peace that we get from Christ that says, I know he's got it. And I'm just going to rest in peace. Set your mind on those things. Set your mind on things above. That is a beautiful and awesome benefit of being in the family, because the world has no idea how to function in that. Amen. Go with me to 1 Peter. Amen. 2:24. Another benefit of being in this family is healing. Healing. Healing belongs to the children of God. It is ours. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as an altar and offering himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And this is not just talking about physical healing. He is talking about healing in every aspect of your life. My mind can be healed. My soul can be healed. My body has been healed. This benefit happened that day on the cross when the stripes were put on his body. He was taking every sickness, every disease, everything that would come against your mind, against your body. He took that on that cross, and you were healed My God. And once we come to a place that we understand that, then we can grab a hold to that benefit and we can hold on to that benefit and we can tell the devil, you cannot do this to me. You can't do this to my mind. You can't do this to my soul. I can't be soul sick. You can't do that to me. My body is healed in the name of Jesus. He said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. He said, when you get tired of being here, all you got to do is draw your feet up on your bed and lay down and close your eyes and go on to glory. You don't have to leave here being sick. The world will want you to think that, well, you got to die from something. How come I just can't say, I'm ready to go, Lord? We've been sold a bill of goods here. This is your benefit. But if you don't know that you have this benefit, you'll never access it. You'll never go to the shelf and you'll never take it out and you'll never eat that benefit into your soul and into your spirit, into who you are. You'll never take it because you stayed on a low level of understanding who you are in Christ and the benefits that you have. I want every benefit. When you go to a job and you're getting hired at a job, one of the first things you do is you sit down and you say, well, what kind of benefits do you offer? Because I want to know if I want to take this job because I have two offers and I want to see whose benefits are better. So you have Satan's benefits and you have God's benefits, but you need to figure out what Satan's benefits are and you need to surely figure out what God's benefits are. And you need to compare the two and make your decision. My God. Healing is a benefit of being in the family of God. Now, I think this last one is one of the most precious, awesome, over the top, blows my mind that God would even do this. Because he sent his son and he saved us and he gave us his word. That's awesome within itself. Great benefits. But I think one of the most precious and beautiful benefits that he gave us is the Holy Spirit. My God. My God. Go with me to John. I'm debating on which one I want to do first here because, God Almighty. When he gave us the Holy Spirit, what a gift, what a honor, because it would seem to me that when he sent Jesus, that was like everything, you know what I mean? But I love the fact that Jesus, let's do John 14:16. Do that one first, yeah. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Oh my goodness. If I could say I have any through Christ. Oh my God. Oh God. Okay. I'll read it again. But the comforter, I'm sorry, I will ask the Father. This is Jesus for you. This is for you, okay? And he will give you another comforter. In other words, when the disciples were with Jesus, he was a comfort to them because he talked directly to the Father. They received from the disciples, from Jesus, and the disciples were right there with him. He was a comfort. Wouldn't that comfort you if Jesus was with you? That would really comfort you. Yes, amen. Because you know he has all power in his hands. Amen. They knew this, okay? And he will give another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Come on now. My God, that he may remain with you forever. In other words, when he gave him to you, you don't lose him. He is with you forever. You have all of these benefits forever, forever. forever. Do you understand? Forever. It's not a gift that comes and leaves. It's a gift that comes and abides with you. It's a gift that comes and stays with you. It's a comforter when you're hurting. It's a counselor when you don't know what to do. Oh, come on now. That is the best gift. I'm telling you, he did not leave us with nothing. He said, I'm going back to the Father. I have to go back to the Father, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you alone, because you're going to see me leave physically, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Whoo, my God. My God. Woo, Jesus, go to 14:26. But the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. Woo, thank you, Jesus. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of being, will remind you of and being of your remembrance, and bring to your remembrance, I'm sorry, everything that I have told you. If you forgot it, the Holy Spirit remembers. Oh, come on now. If you forgot it, the Holy Ghost remembers, and he can bring it to your remembrance. That's why whenever we lose something in my house, we get together and we say, Holy Ghost, can you please reveal the hiding place of that thing? Because we know he is sent there, not as a gopher for us, but to help us. Oh my God. You can come to him with the great things, and you can come to him with the little things. You can trust the Holy Ghost, because he sent him here to you to be a teacher for you, to teach you and to raise you up and to help you understand who Christ is, what he meant to you. He will speak to you. He will take you through the paces and teach you what you need to know. He is a helper. When you don't know what to do, he steps in alongside of you and he helps you figure out the rotten situation that you got to work through. He is power to overcome. Oh my God. When you have something in your life and you can't get past it and you can't overcome it, he is the power that you can lean back in and you can engulf yourself in, and you can say, I have the power of the Holy Ghost. I can stand when I've done all to stand. I can stand therefore because the Holy Ghost rests inside of me. My God. What a gift. What a benefit. What a benefit. My God. He tells you the world cannot receive him. The world does not even understand who he is. That's why in the world, they hate the fact that you pray in tongues. What's all that gibberish? They want to make you afraid to do it. That's the enemy trying to shortchange you and take a benefit away from you. My God, he left him here that we can get into that place and we can get covered up and we can come up under and we can begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. We don't even understand, because sometimes our mind is so minute, we can't even figure anything out and we don't know. And the Holy Spirit comes in and makes intercession for us, prays through us a perfect prayer language that the enemy doesn't understand. Therefore, he cannot come in and contaminate your prayer. Woo, God. He gives us a straight line, straight to him, that we can walk with him. We can talk with him. And when we don't know it, our minds are so cluttered and so full that we don't even know what to do. We can be God. Shut up, say, hey. And the Holy Spirit begins to say, I got this. I got it. I got it. I'm taking that straight to the Lord. I'm interceding for you. Then when I get back, I got your answer. Woo, God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your holy name this morning, Lord, that the Holy Ghost belongs to me. I get to have the Holy Ghost living inside of me. I get to have the Holy Ghost working through me. Oh, God, you're a good God. And your benefits, huh? God bless your people. My God, hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise this morning, Father. Thank you, Lord. Huh? And the greatest thing about this, any benefit in Christ, the Holy Ghost will bring it to the forefront. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My God, you are entitled. Ah, Jesus. Ah, God. Ah, thank you, Lord. Ah, God. When I think about the goodness of the Lord and how he loves me and how he showered me. And when Jesus left here, he loved me. I don't know about you, so I'm just going to put it on the me level. Okay. He loved me enough to not leave me without a presence that I don't even have to see, but it's so tangible that sometimes when you get into that place, it is so overwhelming that it takes you off your feet. God, that's who we are. So on this Pentecost Sunday, what benefit are you not accessing? Are you always dependent on somebody else? Like kids do. Why don't you go ask daddy? No, you go ask. No, you go ask. No, you go ask. I ain't afraid to go ask. I'll go ask. I ain't afraid to go ask. I'll go ask. Hallelujah. Come on. What benefit are you not accessing? Who are you letting go in for you and denying you that place of reconciliation, forgiveness, friendship, freedom from fear, inner peace, healing, and the gift of the Holy Ghost? And so many more benefits. So many more. Don't stand on the outside. Don't continue to be a child and not understand the great benefits that belong to you. Open up your eyes. Open up your heart. Open up your mind. Gird yourself up and begin to seek out and begin to walk in the benefits that God has given to you. And I promise you, I can literally make this promise. If you ask for the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you ask for that baptism, that he will come immediately and he will sit upon you and he will give it to you right then. Because the word says, come on, hear me out now, hear me. The word says, when a child, my child comes, I'm going to paraphrase for you, and ask me for bread, I'm not going to give you a rock. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to crush you. If you come to me and you want from me, then I will give you the bread of life. So if you ask for my Holy Spirit, I'll give him to you. I'll freely give him to you. My God. My God. I'm going to open up the altars before we go. And if you don't have, number one, the most precious gift that we could ever have, and that is Jesus. That his heart is that no one would die and go to hell. That's his heart. And that no matter where you are, and no matter what you've done, and no matter what you've gone through, that through his blood, he has the power to save. Can I have my prayer team up, please? And I'm going to open up the altars for, hallelujah, I'm going to offer the Holy Spirit. Because see, he dwells in me, so I can, because of my reconciliation to him, I have the message of reconciliation that I can now preach. Because I am confident in who he is. And I am confident that if you have not received the full baptism of the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday, he said they all came together in one accord. And he came in as a rushing wind and landed and sat like tongues of fire just sat on him. God. My God. He wants to sit on you this morning. He wants to clothe you this morning. He wants to fill you this morning to the overflowing. So if you are here and you know Christ, and you have not received the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with power, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received your heavenly language? So it is viable. He wants to give it to us. And if you have not received that, I want you to get out of your seat this morning. And I want you to come to this altar. Come free, come forgiven, and come and claim your benefit. I want to tell you, this is like the $1 million, $1 trillion lottery. Okay? That's what this is. So if you have not received the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that heavenly, beautiful language that only God in your spirit understands, that, that intimate, beautiful place that we can go to with Him, then in the presence of this, the sweet spirit in this house right now, I'm going to ask you to come forward and receive fully every benefit that God has for you. Oh God, if you're struggling in any of these places with fear and you don't have that inner peace and you feel like, oh Lord, I've did so much, I don't feel like I'm truly forgiven, then you need to come forward and you need to let these prayer team pray with you and to lift you up and to help you to understand that Christ paid the price. He paid the price. Take your full benefits. Take your full benefits. They're here for you. They're here for you. He wants you to have all of His benefits. He wants you to walk in the benefit of healing. Hallelujah. He wants you to walk in the benefit of His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He wants you to walk in the benefit of His peace. Oh my God. He wants you to walk in all of His great benefits. And those of you, if you're not making your way up here to the front, I want to ask you to just begin to pray in your heavenly language. Begin to pray, because they were all together in one accord. They were all together in the upper room in one accord. They were lifting up the name of Jesus. They were praying in their heavenly, they were praying and the heavenly language sat upon them. Begin to pray in your heavenly language. Begin to seek God on behalf of the ones that are up here. Begin to seek the Lord, because people are dealing with things in their life. People need a touch from God. Hallelujah. People need their eyes to be opened to what God has for them. What benefit do you need? Everything that you need and everything that you could ever need is found in Christ Jesus. And we come forward, Lord, and we throw ourselves on the altar this morning, Father, that you would open our eyes, Lord Jesus, to every benefit that you have for us, Father. Oh God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fullness of your Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost fall upon us this morning, Lord. My God, we thank you, Lord, that your benefit is healing, Lord. Oh God, you said that by your stripes we were healed, Father. So Lord, we access that benefit this morning, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that through you, Father, that you paid the price, Lord, that you paid the price that we could walk totally free and healthy all the days of our lives, Lord. Oh God, we give you praise this morning. Continue to pray this morning. Oh God, we bless your name this morning, Lord. We bless your name this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for every benefit, Father. We thank you for being grafted in, Lord. We thank you that we call you Abba Father. Abba Father, I have a need this morning. Oh God, Abba Father, I have a need this morning, Lord. Abba Father, I have a need this morning, Lord. Oh God, I need you, Jesus. Oh God, I need you, Lord. I need your presence, Jesus. I need you to intervene in this area. Oh God, I need you, Lord. I come to you, Father, with groanings that cannot even be uttered, Lord. I come before you, Jesus. Oh God, I praise you. I thank you, Lord. We bless your name this morning, Lord. Continue to pray. Come on. Continue to pray with me this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you for every benefit. We thank you for every benefit, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We give you praise this morning, Father. Every benefit, Father. Every benefit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this house, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this house. Pour out your benefits on your people this morning, Lord. Pour out your benefits on your people, Lord. You didn't even keep your glory back from us, Lord. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. We give you praise this morning, Lord. We thank you for heavenly languages being released this morning in your people, Father. We thank you for healing released in this house this morning, Lord. We thank you for restoration in this house this morning, Lord. We thank you for marriages being healed, Father. We thank you for brokenness being, oh, Father, girded up, Father God, and made whole again, Jesus. Holy Spirit, change the atmosphere in each home that is represented here. Change the atmosphere there. Oh, God, thank you for the benefit of being able to call you into our homes, Lord Jesus, that you have power and you have might, that you can break the back of the enemy. You can break the strongholds out of in people's lives this morning, Lord. God, I praise you and I thank you, Jesus. We give you praise this morning, Lord. We give you praise this morning, Lord. You're welcome here. Fill this house. Change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere of people's hearts this morning, Lord. Oh, God. My God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Touch this morning, Lord. Touch this morning, Lord. Touch this morning, Jesus. Feel this morning, Father. Hallelujah. Change us, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We run into your chambers this morning, Lord, to sit at your feet, Jesus. Hallelujah. To talk to you and to sup with you. My God, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, Father. We thank you for changing us, Lord, for filling us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We bless your holy name, Father. Holy Spirit, tell him you're welcome in my heart. Flood this place. Flood this body. Change the atmosphere. Your glory, Lord, just to bask and to sit in your glory, Jesus. We want to be overcome by your presence, Lord. God, Jesus, we love you, Lord. Let us be overcome with the goodness and the greatness of who you are, Jesus. Every benefit. You paid the price for it all. You paid the price for it all. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, as they continue to pray up here, I'm going to just pray over you and then I'm going to dismiss you this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we no longer remain babes in Christ. But Lord, we begin to ask and we begin to seek out and we begin to say, Lord, what are your benefits? And you said that if we would ask, that you would give, that if we would knock, that you would open the door. So God, I praise you and I thank you that everyone in here this morning begins to seek out their benefits, begins to ask you about their benefits. And God, above everything, that they begin to walk in your benefits, that they own them, because once we own it, we can share it. And so, Father, I leave a blessing on your people this morning as they go traveling mercies over each life this morning. Prosperous, blessed, joy, loving week to everybody in this house this morning. As you leave, hug one another, tell them you love them. Be blessed. Amen. Have an awesome, awesome week in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.